Hear now the word of the Lord from Mark 2, 13 through 22. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." Don't you think it's interesting that Mark tells these two stories back to back? In the first story, Jesus is eating with sinners, including the most hated man in the whole town. And in the second story, John's crew and the Pharisees are fasting, that is, not eating. Eating with the bad guys, while the self-appointed good guys are not eating. In both cases, Jesus is questioned about his and his followers' eating habits, eating with sinners, but not eating the right way. And then there's this parable-like statement about old cloth and new cloth and old wine and new wineskins, and there's us 2,000 years later, probably feeling much like the original recipients of this entire section of stories. What are we supposed to do with all of this? And that's a valid question given the two introductory stories that lead into this section, because we just heard Mark's setups of our mission, healing and forgiveness, to which the people responded in 2:12. We've never seen anything like this. And that's pretty much where we are at this point in the story. We've never seen anything like this. And then immediately in 2:13 through 22, we encounter two stories, some new callings and new controversies that lead us to say out loud what is most important: eating with sinners. Jesus came to be with sinners, which is good news for all of us because we're a whole lot of sinners. And so we begin by eating with Jesus, and Jesus eating with us. And this story is going to be a big challenge because Jesus eats with public enemy number one. Oh, and by the way, the story throws in some reminders about how to repair garments and make wine, which probably don't have anything to do with garments or wine. Those two statements probably have something to do with us, a whole lot of sinners. So let's start at the toll booth and the toll collector, Levi. Everybody, meet Levi. And he's not a tax collector in the city like we think and that we have probably pictured in the past. You know, metal desk, white short sleeve, button-up dress shirt, and ugly tie. The word used here for Levi is more like a toll booth collector at bridges for toll booths that the Romans set up for people who had to cross the bridge to get from wherever to the next place. In this story, that man is Levi, the toll booth tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. The Romans hired local Jews to collect the tolls from other local Jews. So the people who had to cross the bridge hated with a hateful hate their fellow Jew sitting at the toll booth taking their money for crossing a bridge built by the Jews, owned by the local Jews, and then giving that money to the Romans. Now, try to picture that. And while you're at it, try to imagine what it felt like to see someone taking your hard-earned money at a bridge that your grandfather built and then giving that money to the unwelcomed and unwanted Romans who occupy your land. Jesus is inviting the most hated man in the region to be one of his followers. Jesus was following the opposite of good public relations by even associating with this man, much less inviting this hated man to be one of his new best friends. This action immediately discredited Jesus in the eyes of the locals, which is precisely why they looked at Jesus and probably said to one another, "Of all the nerve, can you get over this Jesus guy eating with the toll bridge troll?" The same crowd who said, "We've never seen anything like this," about all the healing and forgiveness, they are challenged here at the toll booth to put their money where their mouth is when confronted with having to practice forgiveness with the man they all hate. Meanwhile, the self-appointed religious good guys leave Jesus and the bad guys. They go off and do their religious fasting, you know, the right way. And then they look back over their shoulders and they see Jesus and the bad guys not fasting, that is, not eating, probably still eating with the trolls and the lepers and the stinking fishermen and the sick mothers-in-law and the roof-invading paralytics. And it just gives them more fuel for their fire. And they shout from their ivory towers down at Jesus and the peons, "We're fasting like good little Pharisees." I mean, for crying out loud, even John's disciples know that you're supposed to fast if you really want to be good. So Jesus and Jesus's pals, hey, why aren't y'all fasting? Don't you believe in God? Don't you want to do things right, get everything right, right? Right. But then Jesus does something that we as the early listeners of the Gospel of Mark have not quite gotten used to just yet. Jesus talks. In fact, Jesus hasn't said hardly anything up to this point in the whole Gospel of Mark. But before Jesus says what he's about to say, don't forget the setup. And Mark includes this here on purpose. What Jesus said at the dinner table, and I quote, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." What if Jesus is teaching us here that his forgiveness has to become our forgiveness too? When Jesus is questioned about eating versus not eating, sinners versus obedient not eaters, Jesus gives his longest speech up to this point, but does not say what they expect him to say. And here, once again, to really let it sink in, is what Jesus says, teaches, and actually models. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Jesus begins this new teaching by reminding the Pharisees that the good news of the Messiah coming into the world was, in fact, you ready for this? Good news. This is a wedding, not a funeral. Let us never forget this in the life of the church. This is a wedding. It's not a funeral. We are the widow of Christ? No. We are the bride of Christ. This is a wedding. It was Jesus' way of beginning to set up the ministering community. That's what Mark is all about. And Jesus would never approach that community like a funeral. Jesus would never treat the ministering community like a place to be sad or guilty or angry or let down. Instead, the ministering community would be a place that always remembered to celebrate, like a gaggle of groomsmen whose job it was to remind the people to celebrate. The celebration of the biggest gift of all from the very being of God, love. But instead, the Pharisees managed to turn joyful righteousness into somber churchiness. Or maybe a little closer to home, they swept down and turned love into guilt. You ever been on the receiving end of that one? Love into guilt. And so the Pharisees, in all of their Phariseeness, let Jesus and his pals have it. You're not properly worshiping God unless you are just a little bit bitter while you're doing it, fasting, letting everyone know how holy you are for doing church, not with all that silly joy, 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 joy down in my heart, kids' campiness, but with decent and in order, guide, guard, and direct us till the next appointed time, solid church. To Jesus, so ludicrous is the thought of sorrow at a wedding that it would be like sewing a new patch of cloth onto an old pair of jeans. It would be like the last step of preparing wine that had been fermented for weeks, but then ruining it all by pouring new wine into used, old, dirty, ripped apart wineskins. And although most of us here have probably done neither of those things, Jesus mentions in his longest speech up to this point in Mark that the point of it all really centers back on one man. Levi, the toll booth troll. Picture a man that everyone hates. Someone large swaths of people cannot stand, who think is a traitor, a very not good person. But then Jesus shows up and invites Levi, the toll booth troll, to become one of his closest friends. And all the while, somewhere along the way, Levi the hated traitor became Levi, one of the original followers of Jesus. Jesus, the one who brought us good news, Messiah, Christ. And this is still only the beginning of the story. No wonder Jesus says, this is a celebration. This is a celebration. It's like a wedding. It's like a great big joy, 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 joy down in my heart party, like it's 1999 proclamation with an exclamation point. That in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Roman, slave nor free, male nor female, but there's also not hatred for the toll booth troll. Instead, here at the beginning of the story already, there is redemption, there is hope, and there is grace, and there is healing, and there is forgiveness, and that is straight from Jesus himself. Amen.